Here tonight, it is Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. And this is the city council budget meeting for the city of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of South Jordan with this outstanding city council who are all here seated next to me and our city administration. All of our department heads, our administrative staff, we appreciate you so much being here, all of you. We're going to open this budget meeting tonight with an invocation by Director of Strategy and Budget, Dawn Tingey. I almost called you Dawn Shelton. Dawn Tingey.
Rachel told me to say thank you for letting her pray last week. this is my payback.
Yeah.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day, grateful to be together this evening in budget work session, and blessed that we might be able to talk about those projects that are on the table for this year's funding, that we might be able to discuss them and have clarification and understanding, and we might be able to continue to complete this year's budget and present it to our residents and our community, and it might be best use of our resources in moving forward and progressing in our great town. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, our discussion item today is on our fiscal year 2024-25 budget. We will turn to Mr. Lewis, to get us started with that, and help run us through and introduce everybody that you've got presenting, and however, we'll let you take it from here.
Great. Well, as y'all remember, we started this process many, many months ago. Back in September, as we started to put things together, and we met, we talked through all the mission, vision, and strategic priorities, and then we talked about all the big pieces of the puzzle that we wanted to get into the budget. And the last time we met, we talked through the personnel aspects of the budget. And tonight, we've got the last big piece that we need to kind of fit together before we can just buckle everything up into one nice package. So tonight, we're going to talk about our capital improvement program. On Monday, I sent an email that had an attachment that had the document that will be the basis for our discussion tonight. If you want a hard copy, Dawn was kind enough to bring some printed copies for all of you.
So
the process of putting together our capital plan, as you know, it's something that we work on throughout the year. Many of you are familiar with the five-year plan. As things come up, as they're identified, they go into the hopper, and then our team works to put those into the timeline, whether that's something that needs to happen in the next budget year, if it's 2 years out, 3 years out, if it's 4 years out, if it's something that you guys have asked us to put in the parking lot, or if it's a project that we know is going to happen, but it doesn't really fit into the five-year. We're constantly working on that to be able to come together on a night like tonight to finalize what goes into the next budget. So with that, what you have tonight, and Sunil, you're welcome to join us up here at the table.
you
made me nervous when you weren't here.
He just told him that you were spending money to be able to do that.
I said he was working on the press, could have been bench press.
Yeah.
That's right. So what we wanted to do tonight was to go through this list of projects. Now, the good news is that the technical team and the executive team have hammered all of these things out. This all comes from the five-year plan. And what's made it into that sheet in front of you tonight are the things that are at the top of the priority list for each of the funding sources. The staff has worked very diligently to make sure that we have brought the most important projects. And the good news is that all the projects that are in there, except for the things we'll talk about at the very end, all fit within the amounts that we have available in the budget to make this happen. So that means that the staff has debated and had constructive conversations about those priorities and what fit within the amounts available, so that we didn't have to bring projects that didn't have available funding. So with that, I wanted to kind of go through this. I know earlier today, Councilmember Shelton, you sent a list of some very good questions. Thank you for sending that. I believe Sunil has sent you a written an email that has all of the answers to that. But as we go through this tonight, we can talk about those questions to make sure that everybody gets that information, and then we can make that answer to your email part of the record if you'd like to have that included.
Yeah, that's great.
So with that, that first page kind of outlines how we come up and where the funding from these projects come from. So as you know, we take the money that we're able to save from the general fund, from different things over the course of last year as that gets finalized. Those funds become what we use to do our capital projects the next year. So that's where the source of the funds come from for the general fund projects. It was the unexpended money from the previous year and the savings from other projects that we worked on last year, and we always hope that there's enough there to carry forward to do these projects. The other sources of funding that comes to us are the Class C road funds, the transportation sales tax. You hear a lot of talk of the quarter of the quarter. There's discussions that include the fifth of the fifth and all these other kinds of things, but that's a large portion of the funding.
And they're all getting dedicated to other things now. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty soon it'll be a 16th of the 16th of something.
1% of that, and it'll go to the county. We'll get 1/10 of 1%, potentially, divided 17 ways. Yeah.
Another source of those funds are the impact fees that we collect. The park impact fees, public safety, transportation, stormwater. That's why it's so important and so critical that we do things like we did at our last meeting, where we talked about making sure that those fees are appropriate, that they capture the true costs, because that's what we use to fund these projects. The enterprise funds, so as you know, we have dedicated funding that comes from the culinary water, the secondary water, stormwater, and Mulligans. Those funds collected in the enterprise funds are spent back in the enterprise funds, and we can't mix those buckets of money. They're locked into those buckets. So that's where the funding's going to come from. Just kind of want to walk through this. We'll answer questions as we go. I'm on page 4. This is kind of the parking lot page. These are projects that you guys have given us, that we've said what do you want to do with these?
Okay. Just ask questions as we go.
Yeah, please. I want this to be a discussion. This is a budget work meeting, so it is not just me talking. It's questions, and all the staff here is here to answer them.
So. Okay, so I see all the sources of funding here, but I noticed the stoplight out there on Old Bingham was funded from a CDA, which is not listed as a source of funding here. I just wonder if we ought to...
Yeah, under the general fund there, you'll see CDA maintenance. So it's listed under, it's that upper right-hand box fund.
I see.
It does show the CDA maintenance there.
I got you.
Because it
so
is
it is listed.
It's a little small bucket of very specific money for a very specific area. So that's a good question. So yeah, it's there.
We're all better for you. Deep
dives down. So on that list of some of those projects, you'll see regional trail development. This is every year, you'll remember, we do a little bit to work on some of the canal trails. So we've paved various trails in different places. City park improvements, things like the boxing gym, trail safety improvements, park upgrades, those kinds of things that you guys have said we need to work on a little bit every year. And so those projects get captured, we identify specific pieces, and we work on pieces of that each year.
Will you remind me what the city's obligation is on trail maintenance?
As far as
like the Jordan River Trail, for example, who all participates in maintenance on that?
So it depends on the sections. You'll recall that some of those sections down there, like from 104th to the south, have all been recently repaved in previous years. Mm-hmm. And the city is responsible to do that. So that's why we bite those off and do those in chunks.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of question on the piece that goes north of the 104th to Shields.
Yeah.
And we're, again, looking at that because right now, thanks to the higher flows in the Jordan River, there is some damage being done to the trail. There's some erosion to the embankment, and so we're working to
so someone else participate in maintenance on that?
That one, because that portion of the trail actually sits on state property.
Okay.
And so we've have to figure out that particular piece.
Yeah.
That one's been a tricky one to unravel.
The county's had projects there in the past and has done all the maintenance on it. We went to, the last time the question was asked, we went to go find the agreement, and nobody, including the state, has a copy of the maintenance agreement, so.
Okay.
But in the other places, it's where it's clear that it's our responsibility to maintain it. We have agreements, and then we do that. And whether that's, you know, a complete redo of the asphalt, whether it's an overlay, whether it's patches, whether it's remove sections, repair signage, those are things that our team takes care of.
All right. Thanks for the reminder.
So that trail is getting undercut in some places.
Yeah, Kobe, you're probably the most familiar with it. Do you have an update on what's happened since last week?
You're right, it's significantly undercut. And we closed a section of the trail and provided a detour, which is not ideal at the moment.
I don't know what else you can do.
Yeah. And until the river level drops, which won't be until after spring runoff, there's not much we can do. A few of the options we are considering is bank stabilization, obviously, otherwise it will continue to happen. That would be something that we'll have to work with both the state, that there will be a lot of entities involved in that. Also, a reroute of the trail, pushing it a little further to the west rather than directly adjacent to, so that if we continue to have high runoffs in subsequent years, we eliminate the danger to the trail. So
sure.
Those are some of the things we're looking at. We don't have a paved detour. Right now it takes them onto the horse path, which is a great path. It's not ideal. So until that river drops, we don't even dare to put equipment down there.
Yeah.
We've had to do bank stabilizations before. If you remember by the All Abilities Park, where there's an oxbow in the river right there, we were losing the bank. And we had to work with the state, the Army Corps, and others to do a bank stabilization project there. So.
With the wetland mitigation that's just across there as well.
Oh, you tell me if this is a time for me to ask about this or not. I do want to have a conversation about the I-15 off-ramps.
Yes. Yeah.
Is this the time or later?
Whenever. We can jump down to that one. So that next thing is those five-year CIP projects. These are projects that we think they're coming. We don't know the timing because we don't control all of the pieces of the puzzle. So, for example, you'll see one there on the lap pool. We've known for years that we have a $1 million commitment to the pool. We just didn't know what year it was going to get triggered in. It looks like the county and the school district have worked that out. And so we'll be triggering that, or they've triggered it. We'll be spending the $1 million that we've been holding for that project.
You'll see in their local agreement.
Yeah, you'll see that.
We're locked in at a million.
Meeting or two.
Yeah. March.
They were going to start in the spring. It looks like it's being bid right now. So it'll probably be a September start is what I heard last.
So like the Bingham Creek Trail and open space development, I know this was a question that you had asked about. Salt Lake County has received funding for about $13 million to do trail work. They're intending to spend a good portion of their funds to build the trail from the Bingham Creek Regional Park to the west, which will cross the property that we're acquiring from the Miller Company through Bingham Creek. So they'll be building the trail, but we'll have the agreement to do the maintenance. So that's why you see that. A little bit louder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't feel like I ever knew about that. Is that just brand new or?
It was last year about this time, I think, that it was right before.
It was beyond my short-term memory.
It was probably, I think it was right as the county was finishing their fiscal or their calendar year budget last year. So it was probably 22 December, November, that they, and a big portion of that money was going towards the party's trailhead, and then they picked some regional trails throughout the county so that they dispersed this $13 million countywide, and Bingham Creek Regional was part of that discussion. And so they've been doing some work with West Jordan to extend Bingham Creek all the way to the Jordan River Trail, which is a little more daunting because of the development part, but our section, we're just waiting for us to acquire the property so that we can have control of it. and not the Larry H. Miller folks so that we can just do the project with our
ownership. How far west will the trails go?
To U1, for right now, we'll be to U111 with a temporary trail to Copperton. Eventually, there'll be a permanent trail up to Copperton. But
great. Dustin?
Yeah, you skipped over the Southwest Regional Performing Arts Center. What obligation do we have to that? I thought that was strictly a county facility.
It is a county.
So this got put on when it wasn't. When it was unsure, and so we've just kept it on there and just showing that it's a Salt Lake County
okay,
project.
But we don't have a
financial obligation. But remember, there was a time when we weren't quite sure. That's why it sits in this pool of things. You'll see that drop off now that we know that we don't have a financial obligation. But it's still on there because it's just getting finalized.
And they're doing their programming feasibility right now.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why we'll all support the Zap Tax.
The PR firm running the campaign for that is coming in Tuesday to visit with me and go over all sorts of talking points. I think they want us to just really try to, you know, push support for the Zap Tax, which the voters vote for every time it comes up. But anyway, whatever they bring, I'm happy to pass along.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah. The next one you see on there, the new senior center, community center renovations. As you know, our commitment in that is $10 million of RDA housing funds. And
so
property
stand at 10 million. How much RDA will that leave us with?
About two, or is it going to be three? Because we'll have a new payment.
Well, we've got a new payment coming.
Yeah, so it'll be probably closer to three.
Okay.
And then, you know, again, the community center renovation that's in the parking lot, again, not knowing when that fits, but as the timing works out, that's something that needs to be on the radar. That's why it's sitting there. The Ochre East Park development, Don, did you want to... Depending on what happens with the senior center and its location and what needs to be done there, that's another project that we've identified in the parking lot, but we don't know size, scope, or cost, but it's one you've asked us to keep on the radar. Mm-hmm. So that's why it shows up there. And then the Samuel Lee...
is that the park in the neighborhood?
So that's that
where we were,
where we think
where our tree farm, and it's the whole acreage of that area. Yes, you know, whatever's left after a senior center or whatever happens there, that's a project that we need to identify how that gets done. Okay. Whether that's soccer fields, pickleball court, tree farm, nothing, whatever. That's the placeholder for that. The Samuel Lee Hope Farmstead, we've had some conversations in recent meetings. Again, that's on the placeholder. Whether we're able to acquire grant funds or whatever, we haven't assigned dollars to it, but we've put it in there as a placeholder so that the project doesn't get lost.
Isn't this the one where the family now wants to get involved?
Correct.
And so that could help us to try to find funds and do things. So this page it's really the placeholder of projects that you guys have asked us to keep track of that we don't want to get lost. And then that last one, Mayor, and you asked about this, was the I-15 off-ramps. As we've talked with UDOT, that project has grown. There's significant work that needs to be done. So the cost far exceeds the funds that we would have available at this time, as well as some things that UDOT has as expectations there. And so we're just taking it off the project list for now because it's not a needs don't match the funds and requirements.
I hoped that we would talk about this tonight just because I just want to say what I want to say about it. We've had this kind of fixed here for the last like 6-7 years, you know, of budget meetings. And I want to have kind of a bigger scope outside of this meeting conversation about outside dollars that could come in to help cover that. Dan and I tried to do our part to help some folks that we know that are serving a mission and do service, and we drove their car clear to Las Vegas on Saturday to get it registered and clear back. And it makes me crazy every time I drive down there, and because of all of the lovely, it makes me crazy. Even Dan this time,
for years
even Dan
go,
was
here's
like,
the choir.
"Wait a minute, you are not wrong." So every time, and I'm like,
Carlos.
"This is federal money. This is all federal money that's paying for this," and for every year, I keep thinking, how do we access some of that? Because they keep putting more and more and more and more of it in down there.
The same way
I know. Even St. George, though, St. George is looking good. Yeah. They've got a lot. And I'm like, come on, we don't have that many off-ramps. What can we do to get funding? So I'd like to have a more holistic conversation outside of this meeting about what options exist that we can try to tap into and apply for to bring outside money to do those projects, because it would look so much nicer. It makes me crazy. But if that money's going other places, other people are doing it. And I'm like, we need our piece of that. So anyway, that's my pitch on that. I don't want that to be eliminated from our plan. I just want to find outside money to help pay for it.
You have a mind for like 15
You just
years.
Got Brad very excited.
I'm like, I can't.
But if
I feel strong about it.
I know.
Is it the 106th?
All the interchanges.
All the wider changes.
All of Salt Lake County and Utah. Utah.
Yeah.
And that's what you see when you come into our area. Crappy looking.
I cannot. And then I go, well, but then anytime you pull in there, St. George, that whole area, it is.
U-111 is going to be the same
winning.
Thing.
It looks fantastic.
You know,
Vegas
is going to be the same.
It just freaks me out every time. It makes me frustrated. I'm like, we don't look like this. And they
have last time I drove through there, I said the same thing to my wife.
So I'd like to, outside of this budget meeting, I don't want to take this off the list. We don't have the money for it, but it is not something that I can let go. Every year, this is on my mind. So I want to look outside the box and figure out where we can find money.
Oh, you go to Denver and, yeah.
Sounds like something to take up to our federal delegation.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because it's all federal money paying for it. And it's quite nice in a lot of places.
I also think we got people with their UDOT that really don't want to do it.
There's
somehow a mindset has to be changed with the UDOT. Because they'll tell you they don't want to maintain that stuff. That's partly why they,
Who's maintaining it on I-15 in St. George?
I know, but that's what I hear up there in region.
Different
I mean,
regional directors.
They're not maintaining their signs. The
region.
Signs look
different
terrible.
Region.
But
their priority list.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Outside
well,
of this meeting, I would like to pursue that and
it
not
been an
eliminate this from our plan because it needs to happen. It's needed that for so long.
That's really true.
It'll happen
yeah.
Very true.
And you get a lot of federal money with that. That would be the time to really push for some of that.
Yeah.
The next page in here gives you the big overview of the different funds and the projects that are listed in those. And we'll get into detail in the following pages. There was a couple of questions that were asked from Council Member Shelton about the total amount in the Mulligan's fund. And that balance. Sunil, did you want to answer that question while we're on that page?
Yeah, so right currently we have about $638,000 in the reserve. And then that does not include the $300,000+ that we are proposing for this budget.
So if we add that in, we have close to $1 million.
No, 300, we subtract it out.
Oh, if you subtract it,
includes that.
So, I get you.
So we're spending about half of the reserve funds on projects this year.
How much do you think we ought to keep in reserve?
About $1 million.
I would say $1 million at least.
So we're well below that. Why do you think $1 million? I mean, does their revenue fluctuate that much?
Well, I'm looking at the. Based on their overall budget and what portion of the budget you need to have in reserve just in case of the bad weather, revenue doesn't show up and you have to use your reserve to at least go by 1 year.
So what's their total revenue is like $3 million, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, I can.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry to, and maybe we don't need to drill down in this meeting, I guess, but $1 million just seems like a high reserve to me for them.
So they have, because we do have a lot of need, capital needs.
Right, that's why I'm asking.
And if we don't have, at least in my opinion, if we don't have the reserve, then we are spending money
somewhere.
Well, if
something comes up,
right.
You're thinking.
Yeah.
So some equipment breaks down or whatever.
We
have to repair it or replace it.
Irrigation.
If we lose the whole irrigation system, it's about $1.5 million repair bill.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right. I won't poke any more about that. I was also curious about the park impact fees. I mean, we're not doing any projects. Do we have no park impact fees?
No, we have a little over $500,000 in the park impact fees. We just don't have any projects that we can do for that amount. We need to go another year to put enough money in there to be able to fund some projects. So it's a matter of not having enough in the fund to even get to any of the projects on the list.
Yeah. And Daybreak, there's no impact fees coming out of Daybreak, is that right?
For parks.
Parks.
Mm-hmm. They do pay park impact.
They do not.
They don't.
Yeah, there's no park impact fee in Daybreak.
They pay public safety.
Just only public safety.
Public safety.
And a little bit of transportation.
Yeah. And so our park impact fees are only coming from infill projects. Is that right?
And the new projects that are coming online, like Shoreline.
And the annexation
area
eventually.
But currently, yes.
To be determined, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to depend on the development agreement.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's something for us to figure out.
So probably the park impact fees are
pretty minimal.
For a while.
And again, that's why it's so important that when we do those impact fee studies, that we say this is the true cost of when we have to do these things and this is what it costs.
A couple of years, without speaking too much out of turn, a couple of years ago we did a capacity number on what that park impact fee number at build out would be. And I want to say that it was like $6 million. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
so $500,000, and there's not a lot still out there.
Yeah.
You had also asked a question on this page about the CDA fund and the traffic signal at Prosperity and Old Bingham.
Yeah.
It seemed like that was more than half. That's because that is the cost to do it, but because we're fronting all the money, we'll get reimbursed on the backside.
Oh, that's the total cost to do it.
That's about the total cost. It might be just a little bit high because we're anticipating there may be some challenges with acquiring some easement and some other things there. But when it's all said and done, we think that's about the total. And then we'll get reimbursed from the partners on the backside.
So we'll get some of that back.
We should.
But it'll go into that CDA.
We've been talking to West Jordan. We would split that with them. And
yeah. So
they're on board somewhat. no commitment in their budget, but
we will get it taken care of. We'll get the reimbursement later.
Don knows somebody. We need him to call.
That's right.
True enough.
On page six, you had asked a question about citywide bridge maintenance. UDOT recommended, and that's a function of UDOT coming into our city and looking at several pieces of infrastructure. And for the most part, in our community, that deals with some culverts and some other type of crossings that they make some recommendations for us on. And so we plan to work that in and take care of those based on what's
like
been
canal
recommended.
Bridges, or?
They're mainly canals,
mainly
or culverts.
Canals.
It's deceiving. But we get every about 3 years a report from them. They come out and inspect them all. And nothing, or none of them are really major, but they're just little things that they say we should take care of.
Yeah.
And I think we've kind of identified a couple we need to get right away.
And then the other question that you had asked there was on the bonding projects fund. And if we can just put a pin in that, you'll see why that makes sense when we get to the end of the discussion tonight, because that's part and parcel to a second part of our discussion. So that's the general list of projects. We'll dive into them. I apologize. I skipped the funding source page. Page seven includes the funds. And where those totals are coming from. So with that, let's jump in, starting with the projects that will be funded out of Class C funds. I'm on page 8 if you're looking at that. Most of these are related to operations and maintenance. So these are our pavement preservation programs. There's different things that we do. You've heard us talk about these before, the mill and overlay, microsurface, high-density mineral bonds, crack seal, the GSB 88. Those are all things that we do to extend the life of the roadways. It's money invested up front that saves us several dollars on the back end if we have to do major repairs. So that's the city being proactive about maintenance, spending less to save more.
Did you read the article that KSL did about the State of the City event and the high praise they gave to our roads and how South Jordan stays ahead of the game more than most cities across America? That was...
It's due to this
great
program.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to point it out. I'm like, actually, that was reflected very nicely in that KSL article.
It also helps that we have relatively newer infrastructure. But the key is staying on top of it.
That's the thing. You
have to
stay on top.
Budgeted money.
Because some other cities just let it fill, and then they decide to rip it all.
We could ride the wave of it's nice, new, and shiny until it just dies, and we have to do full replacements. But those get really expensive.
It's funny though, because we get criticized sometimes. Why this road looks good? Why are you hitting it and not that road over there?
Yeah.
But if we hit it with a HA5 treatment, it's very cost effective, and it saves it from going over that ledge, so to speak.
Exactly.
And we got a really good team, Public Works and Engineering. We work very closely. We meet once a month. We talk about these projects, figure out what we're going to bid. In fact, we're going to resurvey all the roads here next month or two. Every 3 years, we resurvey them and get the quality index of them and everything.
So it goes a long way. And it was picked up by the media. Because I didn't say that specifically in any of my message. But what I did share, they took that. It almost sounded like they had access to our annual report, like they read from that something. Anyway, it was high praise. And so in support of what you're talking about here.
And you'll recall some of the stories that they ran about cities and potholes. South Jordan received praise for how quickly we get out and fix potholes.
Pointed it out.
And we're having a lot more potholes this year. It's a function of our wetter soils and the fact that we have this all this rain coming in, it gets in the cracks, softens it up. And so our crews are really on it. We're fixing more potholes even this year than we did last year. Even though we didn't see as much snow, not seeing the snow actually leads to more roads breaking up because of the wet, muddy soils underneath.
And a shout out to the social media on that as well.
Yeah.
That post that just went out a day or two ago about the potholes and, you know, we're getting to them and let us know and you can contact us here, whatever. And I just thought that's really good to be proactive like that and put it out there. That was well done.
The good news is with the temperatures warming up, we'll be able to start getting the hot mix for more permanent repairs and not the cold patch that we have to throw in and then it pops back out. So it's good when the temperatures warm up and they start making good asphalt again. The last two things that you see there, the lane repairs and maintenance, this is to fix those problem spots that are just beyond one of those surface treatments above. And then the streetlight repair placement program is really about our quest to replace all the Rocky Mountain Power, the lights that they have, so that we don't have to pay those monthly fees and we can upgrade and have better efficiency and lower our costs to maintain streetlights.
Where are we at in that
program?
How many
of those do we still have? Yeah.
It's scattered throughout. Basically, homes that were built in the 90s, they have Rocky Mountain Power owned poles and they don't maintain them. They get really faded and ugly, so we're systematically trying to replace those.
But do we have an idea of how the number that we have left?
Oh,
to
I think it's like 600.
I was going to say, I thought I remembered to be
we had
500 or 600 still.
So we're going to be at
so every year we
they had a lump sum program that they could pay and if the ROI on it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so we just told them we'd change them ourselves and not pay them.
And we've been chipping away at it for a long time.
And we'll continue to just do it till it's accomplished. And we have a couple of programs like that. And you'll see some of them were. We're about to be able to take off the books finally. So everything that you see there under the Class C funds, all of those projects and maintenance programs, that's all funded based on what the team has put together and how they've managed to work that budget. The next section are the projects that will come out of the transportation sales tax quarter of the quarter. There's quite a few here. If there's some things you want some detail on, let me know. Traffic signal maintenance. We contract with the county to take care of those, so that's just ongoing funding that we put towards that. Signing and striping, trail maintenance, again, you asked about how we maintain some of the trails. This is how we fund when we do those treatments. The contingency for federal aid projects, I know, Councilman Shelton, you asked about this. This $300,000 will be towards the project to widen riverfront down there between the last roundabout and 114th South. We have a project to widen that, and this is the funds that we need to have as the contingency.
It's federally funded, so we have to put up 6%, and so that's our match.
So we can't, there's no way we finagle CDA funds in
quite a way from the CDA.
Way far out of the CDA.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Well, I would always rather get it from some other place than the.
The good news on that is the feds are picking up the majority of the costs of that project. Canal Trail Extension, this year it's to do that section between 118th and 114th. And this is pending us getting the grant funding on that project. There's a sidewalk and ADA ramps out on Vidania, which is out close to you, Council Member Zander.
It's for the Early Light Academy School, where the kids drop off. Where they drop the kids off the other side of the street, they have to walk through the buds. We're trying to get them over to the...
It's been requested for a long time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's finally moved up to where it's,
yeah,
it's good. Into the list.
Because it is massive.
There's curb and gutter replacements around the city. That's related to when we do the transite water pipe replacements. Pavement on 1055, which is associated with a water line project. And again, this is the teams all working together to coordinate these projects so that we don't go in and redo the pavement, and then the next year go in and tear it back out to do the water line. We're very careful about coordinating projects. So that's why you see funding for certain projects that's related to others, is so that we can do the synchronization and the timing, so that we only have to go in and do it once and we do it right the first time, rather than put in new asphalt and rip it out the next year. So, and that's kudos to Ray and Brad and their teams to coordinate these projects.
So are you saying you're putting the bigger pipes in?
On 1055, I don't know all the details of what's happening.
Yeah, it's an older transite pipe, and it also is a 6-inch. So we'll replace it with an 8-inch C900. And this is back. It was that historical road that we took that designation away. Mm-hmm. So the thought was, when we tear it up to replace the water line, we're trying to acquire the right-of-way right now, that we repave the road to the 28 feet of asphalt. We'll worry about curb and gutter and sidewalk later, but at least we get that road up to some kind of standard, which if you drive it now, I don't know if you want to drive a cow down it. Well, especially with that subdivision going down there, King's Landing. That's another story. But anyhow, that's the whole point of this, is, and combined with the water line, we'll redo the road, at least the asphalt portion of the road.
There's one last project and one that you might have some questions about, and that's the audible pedestrian push buttons. Changes in federal law require upgrades at the stoplights. And so anytime that we modify any of the existing intersections, we'll be required to upgrade to that new federal standard. And any new ones that go in will have to be built to that standard. And so we're putting some money aside so that we can start to address those. Whether we have something comes up or we have to make a modification, or we can just start getting ahead of it. This will be a multi-year project, but rather than have to fund it and do it all at once, we can take it in smaller pieces. So you'll see this show up in future years as well as we look to do that.
Is there a required time frame on the federal legislation on this? Because this is like a 12-year project at this point, and that's before we get more stoplights, right? Which is going to keep going up.
Well, the new ones will all be up to standard.
So this is to catch us up.
And
is there like a deadline? Do they tell us they have to be done by X amount of time?
If we modify them, we have to bring it up to code.
Okay.
It's like a lot of things. You're good until you decide to remodel or modify, and then you have to bring it up to the new code.
But most agencies are going ahead and trying to be proactive. UDOT is, the county, everybody, and trying to do so many a year.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if all of a sudden we have to do work on 15 signals, we're going to really get whammed.
No, I think this is a good way to go about it. I just wondered if there was a deadline.
No,
we're not aware of one yet.
Okay, great.
So, which is nice, because then we can take it in pieces where we can afford it.
Yeah. Council Member Shelton asked if CDBG funds could be used on it, and the answer is maybe. We haven't gone through the whole cycle. They're currently not on our plan. We've been doing ADA ramps. So it would, it appears that it would work. We would just have to prioritize that this is more important than ramps, because there's only so much money. So it's the same amount of money.
We're limited to how much we can use for infrastructure, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And we're using that maximum amount now?
Correct.
Okay.
So if we keep that allocated to ramps, and
that's why,
this little bit.
Right. But if we get caught up on all the ramps,
yeah, like
then we could rewrite our CDBG spending plan and reprioritize and fund it from that.
Okay.
Question, where do we have any audibles right now? Do we have any audibles?
I don't think we have any in our town right now. UDOT might have some on theirs. I'm trying to think of this.
Is there one over here on Bexstead and 104th?
I think 104 Bexstead is.
104 Bexstead.
Because when you press the button now, it tells you the weight.
Yeah, that's a UDOT signal. So
the audible says a word, wait. It's not that chirping weird thing like we have downtown.
It says wait. If you keep pressing the button, it keeps telling you to wait.
Okay.
And then when it changes, it tells you which
one's
it. Quit leaning on the button.
Stop.
So Beck said it.
Control your
game.
You already pushed it once.
I think, because I've used the crosswalk at Beckstead and 104.
I'd like to go to Gale Center.
And that, yeah, that one tells you to wait. So I think that one's up to code. A lot of the newer ones that UDOT's put in, I think. I haven't personally been out to use them yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on the quarter-to-quarter funds? Okay. Again, everything that we've listed there is budgeted for, and we have money to do. So that works.
Not a question, but a comment. If the transit bill that Representative Perucci has goes through, then 10%, 10 of the quarter of a quarter, 0.10.
Yeah.
No, quarter to quarter, because they haven't implemented the fifth here in Salt Lake County yet.
Yeah, it'd be a quarter.
And so she's not willing to take that guaranteed money out of an unguaranteed pot, even though they did just, am I wrong? No, they just made amendments that said Salt Lake County could use a portion of fifth if they pass it toward the other services, the public safety services that they want to use it for.
I know that was talked about, I don't know.
I think that went into the bill, but quarter of a quarter, if Perucci's bill passes by Friday,
yes.
Which it will reduce this for next year, but it will dedicate that money, which works out to be about $7 million in Salt Lake County, to transit innovation grants. So that opens a different opportunity that we'll try to.
And we'll have to adjust accordingly.
But just FYI, this is probably the most we'll have in this money for a while, because we're thrilled about the possibility of transit innovation grants, but it will affect this.
Yeah, and we'll have to just reprioritize how much we put towards some of these projects.
I just wanted to note that, because that'll probably happen in the next 2 days.
The next section is the Culinary Water Fund. This is usually where all the big projects are.
Possibly.
I'll go through these, and then if there's something you want specific, Director Garrison can probably give you the details. We've got $500,000 toward WaterWise Landscaping. This is to match the federal grants that we
talked about. That's the one we talked about in the last council meeting.
Water Master Plan projects, projects that are on that list. The Transite Replacement. And the good news is we think this will be the final year that you will see this come to you. We've spent the last several years budgeting significant amount of money to work on that. We should have it all done this year. So that's really good news. The tank site landscape, I know Councilman Shelton asked about this. The tank that we're looking at landscaping is tank 5B. It's the one out on 118th South and about 6500 West.
Oh, yeah, that needs some landscaping.
Yeah, if you remember when we had Representative Owens here and we talked to him about this would soon be landscaped.
Took him down and showed it to him. Yeah.
We think we're getting closer. That's a joint project with Daybreak to get that done. So we think this is the year that's going to happen. So
Daybreak wants to use part of our overflow pond there and expand it, and in compensation for that, they've agreed to pay for some of the landscaping on the tank. So we're going to have
landscaping.
A little joint project, but we've been waiting for them to really get there. So
imagine waiting.
Yeah,
they're getting close now, though.
Is this the tank clear out by Bacchus?
It's
not
quite.
It's on your way to Bacchus.
Trying to remember.
Before you get to the Daybreak site.
My state center out there now, on the west out there. It's just right before you turn off of 118.
And the water course area.
Most people don't even know it's a water
tank. Springhouse Village?
Past there.
Yeah.
On the right side, you can drive past another.
It used to be out there by itself. Now there's a lot of there.
Okay, so my son lives just west of that, and I'm trying to remember a water tank.
It's
most people drive by it, you don't
see it. But there's a chain link fence around it.
It's secure.
Will we replace that like with a lot of iron or something?
I don't know. We haven't really developed plans, but whatever.
Usually in the past, we've done wrought iron around the hatches to where they can't
and
get in.
Kind of
open and then open it up.
Like tank 3A that's over there off of 102 as you go up the hill.
It's all grass.
It's all grass.
Oh,
that was a joint project.
Yeah. I know what you're talking
I don't think we'll do grass on this one.
To be water wise.
Yeah.
Maybe some of that fake turf.
I want to keep us moving because we got some other discussions we've got to get through. Waterline leak replacements. Again, this is strengthening the system so we don't have stagnant water at the ends of lines. Water security cameras, upgrading our security and preventing breaches there. commercial meter replacement. Again, this is one of those ongoing things that we work to make sure that we're having the most efficient network for that. There's a water conservation software application. We'll look at developing that so that our residents can better interface with all the data that we have available and how they can save water and see those kinds of things in real time. And that's to develop that part of the program. Pressure reducing valve upgrades throughout the city. Tank cleaning, because I'm sure we would all like the tank where our water is stored to be spotless. And it does require some cleaning. And then a portion of some public workshop equipment replacement that's funded out of a couple of different funds.
That's great.
So again, everything that you see there, all of those projects fit within the budget that the water fund has. And we're recommending that those be the priority. The secondary water fund, looking at doing some pump maintenance and replacement. Again, this is to keep the system working, pumps at different and various locations throughout the city. Again, the fund has the money to pay for that project. The Mulligan's Fund, we just had talked a little bit about that. A couple of the big projects there is the mini golf lighting. The lighting that's there is just not working. This is why we can't have nice things. The vandals just keep breaking it up no matter what we do. We thought putting things in concrete would stop that. It hasn't. People are still busting things up. So this is to look at a project that will do higher overhead type lighting. It'll lose a little bit of the ambiance, but we just cannot continue to have the vandalism and the destruction from people. It'll also help with the safety aspect. It'll provide better visibility in those dusk hours and evening hours.
So is that vandalism? Excuse me, is that vandalism happening while golfers are playing, or is this after hours?
No, it's happening while people are playing. This is the people standing there with their club, kids whacking the lights, leaning on the lights, when they're waiting their turn, twisting them off, taking the light bulbs, throwing them in the it's those kinds of problems. And so rather than to continue to replace it with things that get damaged, they just have to do prison grade lighting out of their reach. And I don't know how else to describe it, but
hopefully we can get nicer prison grade lighting.
If you don't we
black powder coated South
but
Jordan.
We eliminate all children.
You eliminate all children.
Do I
have
not always the children?
Just said we're eliminating all children.
Some of the adults that use the facility are a little hard on.
Yeah.
So that's what that is. The
so
mini
for $230,000, couldn't we do a hire a cop and just have him stand there? And stand
up? We don't
you
want teasing kids, Tamara.
No, it's
this is one time, not ongoing.
Yeah, we want to just get it done right, and be done with it. Okay. And then there's some restoration. There's some of those structures that need to be fixed. There's irrigation leaks, water features, the bridge, those kinds of things. And then the pergola that's there on the thing needs to be replaced. So that's the majority of those kinds of things that need to happen down at Mulligan's. And again, that fits within their budget. The park impact fees, no scheduled projects because we don't have enough funding there. The transportation impact fees, 10th West road improvements. Director Clavino can speak more to this, but this is really to help us finish curb and gutter in the places that it doesn't exist, some asphalt or some stormwater things that need to happen there, some sidewalk.
We've had a lot of pressure.
Should we have the right-of-way for that?
We're working on that right now, separately.
That's good.
We're getting really close on that. So this is a big project, and to get these funds and to get this one done is
hopefully everybody cooperates. We're offering them a fair price.
Yeah.
Hope we don't get a holdout.
That's what I was wondering.
If we do, then that
the major person is makes it tough, right?
Yeah, Mr. Maybe owns he owns that pumpkin patch.
Yes, pumpkin patch.
And he's told Gary and I a long time ago he would cooperate. Okay. So, anyways, hopefully.
So that's that project. We're looking to get that one done. The CDA fund, we mentioned this. This is that traffic signal at Old Bingham. So we'll fund that, then we'll get reimbursed. The stormwater fund has the one project, and that is to contribute to the equipment at the Public Works Building. This is related to that last one that you saw in the water project. That's to pay their portion. The Fleet Fund, there's several different things happening here. There's 18 total vehicles and equipment being replaced. That's one of the biggest portions of that. Some vehicles in the water fleet, or new. with the positions that you guys talked about in the last meeting, this takes all of that into account. That's why we have that meeting before this one, so that we can adjust this part of the budget to account for that. So there's some vehicles for the water, the storm water. Down at Mulligan's, I know you had asked this question. So we're buying a new greens mower and a ball picker for the driving range that needed to be replaced. So that's what that is. And then a vehicle and sanitation. And then in our public safety lease replacement program, those are the costs to rotate through the vehicles in police and fire.
As well as the new vehicles.
And towards the new vehicles for those new officers that we approved.
Are we still getting the trucks for the new vehicles?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, those have a much better resale value.
Mm-hmm.
They're much safer for the officers. They're more ergonomically friendly, yeah, which is a reduction in injuries to our officers. With all of the equipment that they carry in and out all the time,
yeah,
it's much. And we had some officers that were so tall they didn't fit in the cars, so the trucks were, yeah, a much better solution. So
I'm so glad we're doing that.
All in all, and I don't know, Chief, and if you've got anything to add to that, but the trucks have been much welcomed from.
Yeah. Yeah. Gives them a higher platform to see.
The injuries are less now.
I bet the overall costs are even lower than those chargers, because those chargers are worth hardly anything when they're,
yeah,
done.
The resell is what really helps us,
yeah,
as we rotate these out. It's,
yeah,
it's a much,
yeah,
much better return on our investment that,
yeah,
in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. So we call it a lease, but technically it's not a lease. It's just we're financing it short term, right?
We are financing it. We started with a short-term lease of financing
first
for outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, we've been doing this for seven years,
right?
And so my goal was to build it so that we can internally finance it by ourselves, pay ourselves back, and not having to pay interest and costs to outside agencies.
Well, we're still...
We are to a point where we are able to do that.
Oh, we are.
We are doing that.
Okay.
We've been doing that for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And so that is the plan, and you know, as we rotate, when money goes back into that pool, and then we are in a good place right now, able to continue doing that.
Yeah,
and that's how we're doing it.
Okay,
it's been
so
great.
So while we're calling it a lease, it's technically not a lease. So we're just funding it ourselves.
The great thing too is we're saving on our maintenance costs. We have less downtime in vehicles. A lot of these are still covered under manufacturer warranties. So it's less burden on the shop to maintain some of these.
That's really good.
It's been a real win-win program.
I think it's great.
We're the envy of other cities when it comes to that. There's some information technology stuff. There's some servers, video conferencing, the Creston. And then this also includes the cost for the GIS aerial mapping, the photos that we get each year. In the past, IT has gone to all the departments and asked for some budget scraps to help pay for that, a contribution.
There's
always a can.
The justification for that was all the departments are using the aerial photos and the things. And because our city is growing so quickly, it's imperative that we get that imagery every year. And so we thought it would just make sense to now put that in the budget in IT, because it benefits all the departments. Then we're not hitting up engineering and public works and planning and everybody for a few thousand dollars to pay for it. So it's all housed there now. That's kind of a new thing you're seeing there, but that's what that's helping to fund. So. Okay, next section is the stuff coming out of the general fund. You'll see at the top of the list the city wall and fence repairs. This is one of those standing items that the council years ago said we want to tackle, and every year you should budget $200,000. And so each year we budget $200,000, and then about every 2 to 3 years we have enough put together to go fix a section of fence. It's incredibly expensive to fix that fence, but that's what that project is. You'll see the next one, the new elementary school that will be coming online in the fall of 2025. That's the cost just to get the painting of the crosswalks and the signage and everything that goes in.
I wondered
in
that.
A new school.
I noticed that and I thought, safe walking route. Why would it cost us $45,000? Okay,
the last
sense.
Two
yeah.
schools, we can never get the school district to pay for it. So at the last minute, Public Works spends a lot of their signing and striping budget to get everything done for the school to open. And so we decided, in talking about it, we're going to be prepared this year and put it in the budget.
So this year, they'll actually get you the money, right?
I already asked, and they told us.
So we're still asking them for it. Scott told me
that they don't get any money from the city, or they don't contribute to any of the new schools, whatever community they be in.
And they don't contribute to us having to repaint the sidewalk, the roads and that every couple years either, do they?
Or to hire the crossing guards.
No, I know the crossing guards, so don't get me going.
So every time a new school comes on, we take on lots of new costs that most people don't realize.
Think about that. Mm-hmm.
So we put that in there so that you could see that, and we could just plan for it. And
it's quite a bit more this time, too.
The 1300 West Shields Lane environmental study, we've got some money in there to do that so that we can hopefully get some federal funds. There's some subsurface drain repairs and replacement that our crews will be working on. And then you'll see citywide waterway removal, citywide canal culvert repairs. These are ongoing things. I know there was a question about whether or not we could use secondary water and stormwater for these. Secondary water fund, these don't qualify for...
Where are you at?
I'm on page 21.
So we can't use stormwater money for waterway removals. Does that mean that's stormwater?
We could, but
there's not money there.
There's not money in the stormwater.
We don't have the funds there.
Okay.
And we have in the past, you might remember in the past, we've had some projects that were kind of joint projects with roads and streets, and we've shared money through that. But there is
those ones on Sky Drive we did last summer. Yeah. We did use some storm fund for that, but they're just kind of depleted. But, yeah.
Sunil told us we couldn't spend any storm money because there wasn't.
It's so tight.
It is hard to get along with sometimes.
Raise those
ears.
They're not impact fee eligible.
Well, that's true. Those wouldn't be impact fee eligible because it's not.
It's kind of our process. The technical committee gets this really long prioritized list, and then when Sunil gets done with the year end, then we cut it in half and say this is all we can fund.
And then he cuts it again.
And then he cuts it again. Then somebody comes in with a new project that we didn't prioritize.
The list is always longer than the dollars. And credit to these guys. They do a tremendous amount of work so that what you see tonight is the highest priorities after they've duked it out and what can be funded.
Literally duked it out.
Yeah. Sunil has to wear a black and white striped shirt and referee some days. 1300 West streetlights are also on there. That's to replace and bring those up to some city standards. We've got some scheduled park improvements. This includes everything from repairs, upgrades, at the baseball fields, tables, benches, trash can, all of those things around in the different parks that need to be upgraded and replaced and repaired, go there. We dedicate money to sidewalk trip hazards. I don't think we'll ever get that list resolved.
Because the trees are going to keep growing.
Trees grow and things happen, and so our crews will work on that. There's a project.
Are we getting better that they're not planting those trees, trees?
We're much better about the trees that are allowed in park strips and where they're positioned. So that helps tremendously. City Hall roof replacement. This is to fix some spots that it leaks as our building ages so that we can keep it safe. As you guys probably didn't notice, but during city council meeting last week, we had a leak upstairs, and that's why some of the team was missing from council meeting. They were upstairs taking care of a leak. So,
But you are doing the full replacement, right? Just getting it done with?
It's the full replacement.
It's the full replacement.
They've chased leaks.
Yeah, you can only chase it for so long.
Yeah.
I saw a work order for another one come through, was it Friday? So that's a good project. Citywide tree replacement program. This is to make up a lot of the city-owned trees that have died, that have either been removed, need to be removed, and they need to be replaced. So as you drive around town or in some of the parks, you'll see a tree well, maybe a tree is missing or dead. This is to get us caught up and get some of those trees replaced. We've got quite a few. We have a tree city designation. It would make sense for us to replace those trees that have died.
So how many of these trees, died because, we were trying to conserve water? Or was,
That's a good Good question. I don't know that a lot of them are from water.
Because we prioritize trees in our watering.
Okay, so yeah, like we've had to take out a bunch of trees over on 98th because of anthracnosis. I was just going to say anthrax, but that's a cattle disease. The tree disease is something different, but it's close.
So question on that. Replacing the over 1,500 city-owned trees. Are you saying there's 1,500 we need to replace, or we have a total of 1,500?
No. Wait, there's 1,500 that need to be replaced.
How many total trees do we have in the city?
I think around 8,500.
That the city owns?
City owned and maintained.
Okay. And that would mean it's on city property, including park strips.
These are in park strips, parks.
City-owned property.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. This is a new program funding. This is the first time you'd see this.
It's the first time that it's been in here. And you'll probably see that for a year or two while we work on that list of trees. Yeah.
Well, I'm grateful that that number's not higher because of the prioritization of watering trees during the drought.
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I think the trees were
okay. I remember we gave instructions to say, hey, let's make sure we get water on the trees so they stay alive. And I was just curious how many we lost, but you know, but it sounds like it's the disease.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's good because can you imagine the cost if we talked about that, right?
Yeah,
we all weighed that and went.
We did.
So I think we made the right call there and appreciate that.
And,
thank you.
You know, some of it's vandalism and other things that happen in our parks. Parks playground replacement, Ivory Crossing Park. We try to replace these. It's interesting that parks equipment manufacturers like to change things up so we can't get parts, and they change the safety codes on things. And so it seems like we have one of these about every other year that we're replacing in a park. And I know that's a big price tag, but that's what that equipment costs to replace. So
almost like they have a lobbyist to make sure those things happen.
Well, the specialized parts that we have to avoid the vandalism, if you put them together with regular screws and bolts,
they'll take them out.
The kids come in and take them apart, so they have really specialized equipment. And about every 8 or 9 years, Colby, they change that, so you can't get replacement parts for it anymore. City-owned park strip water use, our WaterWise landscaping program. We've got some funding for that. The citywide bridge maintenance that we talked about—that's the sheet that Brad showed you. UDOT recommended places, and then there's a portion of the general fund to support the equipment at the fleet. Again, all these projects prioritized and would be funded. That gets me through all of the CIP projects for operation, maintenance, replacement, repair.
This last page is a lot higher dollar amount.
This last page is going to require some additional discussion. And
we just
rip
off the last page, the meeting's over. Is
it not? If you rip off that last page and you guys say move forward, we're going to go. This is really the heart of what we need to talk about tonight, because this is lining up the dominoes for some other really big things that need to happen, and that we need to figure out the timing and the sequencing on.
Oh, the map's
there's one with that project.
You want to talk
I'm
about
sorry.
That
before we get to that.
Sorry. Thank you for reminding me.
Oh,
There is another project that has come up and come to light this week. We have not had it on the 5-year CIP because we did not know when it was going to occur.
That's where we're at.
So this is Redwood Road right here. This is Shields Lane. This is Merritt Medical, and this is their Merritt Farms that they've been farming for a long time. Yep. We always knew someday it would develop. We didn't know when in their timing that would take place. It now appears that this is going to take place probably in the next year. They are very close now to getting this all platted and everything. So this is what I want to ask you guys. Currently, the way to get into all this neighborhood is right here.
Yeah, it's one road in. Enough.
One road.
It's so tight.
It's all the way back here. The city owns this parcel right here. We've owned that for a long time.
It's about 40 feet wide.
It's not quite wide enough for the road. But what we didn't know is when Merritt developed, if they wanted to do this so that it was part of their joint access to this parcel, or if they would give us the property to just put our road out. It appears, based on everything that we're seeing, that they're just going to deed us the property so that we can complete this road. So the question then becomes, you know, when's the timing to do this?
I would suggest that now is probably the time to do this when all this construction is happening, that we can get this road completed and give a second access to this entire neighborhood.
And also, if you look at the water system, it's a long dead end for the system, so we'd probably want to loop that out too at the same time.
That blue represents the water line.
Yeah.
This is the water line that feeds all this neighborhood.
Whoa.
So you can imagine, if you're at the end of the line,
There's no hot water, perhaps, because
we have to flush it more often. But if we can loop it in, then that's healthier for the system, for flows, for water quality. That's why you saw one of the projects in there for looping water lines, is so that we can solve problems like that where they exist in the city.
So, but the problem is only one or two neighbors want that connection.
Didn't we have a long city council meeting about this before?
We had a really ugly one a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all showed up.
I remember it. So recently I forwarded all of you an email from the person that lives in this home that was very supportive of this road going through. As Brad and the teams have had chances to talk to people in here, it's about 50-50.
I thought we did a sidewalk or a walk-in path.
That's what brought everyone in, was to get us to do something.
We did do that, right?
Yeah, because
that was how many years ago?
We were walking through the dirt to get to the sidewalk.
How many years ago was that? Four?
If you remember, it was right at the beginning of your
trip.
Okay.
Towards the beginning of my trip.
You were here 6 years, right?
Yeah, this is our seventh budget session.
It was long enough ago. Well, I didn't get it onto the CIP list because of the timing of this and the property coming to us and the fact that construction will be taking place. Now is really the time that we should probably do this. The cost to do this, Brad, I know you told me, and I'm drawing a blank right now.
We just did a rough estimate, about $200,000 max, probably be a little less than that.
Shut out those Mulligan lights and just.
It would be trash.
Except I can't use the Mulligans.
I know. You tell me that every time.
Take it out of the Xander Cruz fund.
We have a funding source.
We have a funding source for it.
We can use transportation impact fees, and I think there's some money left.
I think it's just the time to get it done if we have the funding for it.
From a public safety standpoint, Chiefs, correct me if I'm wrong, we are going to have a second entry into this.
Yeah, that's.
From a public work standpoint, if you have to go in and close this road to do water repair or anything, people have to walk a long ways to get to their house because there's no other way to come in if we can't.
Yeah.
And you think about it, Redwood went to seven lanes. There's no shoulder there anymore.
No, there. Yeah.
And
it's
so
hard. It's hard if you're coming from this way to.
It's just time.
It's just so hard. It's hard.
So well, would you ever have to work on the road itself?
Right.
They're stuck.
If we need to do one of those treatments to extend the life of the asphalt, because some of them can't drive on it for 24 hours, all these folks have to park clear over here.
That would be funny.
It's terrible.
And a bad road.
Yeah.
Well, and the only people that are going to use that entrance really is that neighborhood.
Right.
Is Merritt Medical going to tie into that? Or will Merritt Medical have the option to tie in, or are they just doing
it? They're going to do a separate.
They're just going to do their
own. They would rather keep that also.
I think that's better too. The residents would probably prefer that as well.
Because then you don't have any trucks.
So then it's going to be kind of camouflaged too, I think. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, it will look like a Merritt entrance, not necessarily. I mean, it will be signed and stuff.
Yeah.
But.
You know, a lot of people, the argument you're probably going to hear is everybody's going to cut through our neighborhood.
There's no one to turn yourself off.
Why would anybody do that?
Right. No, look at that.
Nobody would cut through that.
That makes no sense.
Most
but
people
heard
all
of that.
It's faster.
Children are going to die.
Children are going to die. Our home values will go down.
All these dog legs to come out and then make a right hand turn.
And do we have to do a public hearing to do this?
I don't think we do.
I think we just notice.
In fact, I think we're going to start construction at 10 o'clock at night and have it done by 7 a.m.
And whose district is this? Your district?
Yeah.
Kathy. Okay.
Ryan, did you
we'll put your phone number. Call Kathy with any questions.
Make those charge for us.
So, if you would like us to make an amendment to that. We can amend that, put this project in this budget, And the Wizards would
so what comes up?
Go Wizards.
Yeah, it would just be part of the transportation.
Oh, we have funding, so nothing has to come off.
Yeah, nothing would have to come off.
Transportation.
Okay. These guys can make it happen. But this is really probably the time.
It's 100%.
Yeah.
I really firmly believe once that road goes in, it will be a huge benefit to these residents. I think a lot of them will be grateful to use it. It doesn't go anywhere but their neighborhood. There's no other destination. Mm-hmm. It won't attract traffic, but it's going to make their life so much easier.
And safer.
I think it's good
if you
for
want
them.
To go north, you go out and make a left at the signal underneath the Redwood. As trying to make a left out of there at certain times of day,
yeah.
It's got to be a nightmare.
That'd be a bus.
Yep.
There's not a signal there, is there?
Nope.
No, that's a nightmare.
It's a free for all. Instead of having to leave all.
I think it will make their quality of life better. I think that just makes it easier to access. Besides, we know it's safer.
A fire truck getting in there.
And then at the same time, we'll loop that water line across.
Yeah.
And then that helps water quality in that neighborhood.
Yep.
Okay. So if you're good with that, we'll 100%. Add that to the, when we bring you the tenant
good.
Budget, we'll add that
yeah.
on the Wizards will.
Go for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's
Thanks
the name
for
of that? We'll have to name the street, right?
It's Town Meadows Court there, and then this one is
Town Meadows Extended
and Shields Orchard View.
Orchard View, yeah.
Okay.
So it'd probably be, I don't know. I guess we'll figure that out planning.
Okay.
It'll be the Kathy Extension, Dustin's Drive or something
nope.
like that.
Nope, we don't name
it's
the
after
Orchard
me.
I think this is Orchard View, oh, Orchard View Drive.
Halfway road.
Which is, it winds all over.
I saw Fred yesterday.
Yeah.
I had a great visit with Fred Micropolis yesterday. I saw him at Astro Worker.
That's fun. Would you lock me up for fun?
Just,
okay.
No,
thanks for reminding me
to,
about
to
that.
Have his people call me.
I was wondering if you were
I'm so
sorry.
I was just about ready to say it when he put it up on the screen.
All right. Now I want to come back to the last page because
this is the heavy part of our discussion tonight.
I'm going to turn it over to Sunil to discuss.
Here's the ugly part, Sunil.
I'm going to make it really easy.
Okay.
I'm going to make it really easy by following Council Member Maguire's recommendation.
Okay, we'll see you guys later.
So was that a big no?
That was the proverbial kick of the can.
Off the back page.
Rip that band-aid off.
Yeah. I'm going to.
You always have.
It's okay, man. I'm going to
just
draw some pictures.
I thought it was just
mostly
bad. No stick
figures. No stick figures. That's all I can.
That's
you know,
all I can.
Draw.
No,
so
good.
This is the last page on the package. So one of the numbers is more current on page 6 than the last page, and we'll get there. So after the discussion, I think we definitely want some direction in, as to where what council's thoughts are and what council would like to proceed and how and whatnot. So let me go over those few projects. I'll just start from the top. Now we've been talking about the water tank, which is way out west. And as we are growing that way, we have lots of population and the need is coming. And talking to our staff, they recommend that this water tank be in operation by January of 2027. So project number one, say water tank, maybe I'm just going to say 26 million dollars in operational by January 2027. And I'm going to list all of them and then we'll talk about it. And the other one is I'm just going to skip one. And I'm going to say number two, public works building. And the cost of the building, every time we talk, it just changes, it increases. And the current number on that is, I would say, $36.4 million. And as far as the needs go, we need to have this in place by same time, 2027. And then we have these.
On the public works, yeah.
2026, Sunil, on the public works.
That's what
I
anticipated
on 2026.
There's that one.
At
the end of
2026.
That one didn't. Okay, it was Jen. Go ahead.
So you may need to change.
Either way, it's needed soon.
As soon as possible.
2026 is tomorrow.
Okay. And the last one is fire station 65, right? And that's it, huh?
No, go ahead.
$20 million, and that needs to be operational by, I would say, January of 2028. Okay, so now that I have that, I'm gonna.
And then there's also a water annex building on our sheet.
Yeah, I'll come back to that one in just a sec. So.
Yeah, that pretty pink marker's a little hard to see.
There we go. Green's always the answer.
But that would mess up my
It's going to mess up this chart.
That's true. Do you have a blue somewhere?
I think we threw that one away last week.
Oh, there it is.
There we go.
Okay. It's a little squeaky.
So,
it's not even a chalkboard.
It's a squeaky Sharpie.
Yeah.
So
could you make that squeak away, Sunil?
Well, if you'd increase the budget so they could buy better quality markers.
It's how we fund things. Squeeze.
At least we're all laughing right now.
Yeah. We gotta have some. We're all laughing ourselves.
It's our nervous laugh.
I think I'm all sick to my stomach.
Some of
we might need the medics down here in a minute.
Okay, so each one of those individually, they take about a year and a half to construct. So it takes about a year and a half to construct. So if we wanted water tank to be operational in 2027. January of 2027, say, and then we have to start construction,
no later than July of 25.
So, yeah, so that's why number one, we have to start construction July 25. Yeah, so that color coding matches, right? Same thing with this public works building. Same, so we have to start over here also. And then there's the fire station, 2028.
It's probably none of us. It's 2026.
You're going to have a whole new council in 2025. We'll all get
there. Yeah, don't just say that yet.
Never said what type of campaign.
Somebody else gets to run. Brad, you live in the city, you can run. Jason, okay. You can run.
So here's why.
Lives in my district.
That's.
Yeah.
Jason,
so does
Janelle. You take my spot.
I still want to work here.
So here's the thing.
I know I must be retired to you.
No matter what, I know Dustin recommended that I start, printing. Few things, and I don't think I can handle that. So these are high ticket items, and we have to borrow money, and there's no question about it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We will come back, and I'll give you maybe two options on this one over here. But the other is, we have to build that. We got the land from Daybreak, right? And it's in place. So it's this one. This one, we're going to have to start building it. There's a need. If you have any question whether there is a need or not, this guy can explain. So for $26 million, if we want to start on July of 2026, that would mean that I need to have a funding in place by July 2026. And so in order for me to have the funding in place by July 2026, I need to start working on it in January of 2026. So January of 2026 for that one, for these ones, January of
2025. Wow.
Which is right? So you will still be here.
It'll be our last year here.
So I need to know January 25, and January 25 is when I need to bring to council a bond resolution.
So it seems to me like the last time we talked about this, you thought you could maneuver cash flow and cover these costs. Were you expecting a longer time frame to cover it? Is that am I not recalling that right?
No, I gave you a little. I talked about a few options. Yes, and I'll tell you. I'll get to that in just a sec. Which is this one over here, public works. This is totally water, fully 100%
water fund.
Right?
Do we have bonds coming off in the water fund? Or?
Yes. So this is the last year of our existing debt service. And so...
So we have room to add that bond. Shouldn't increase water costs.
Exactly. So if in my opinion, I'm hoping... And I was talking to Dustin, and he says, no, I want interest rate to stay up so you can make more money. But
No.
I'm in the dilemma, right? Yeah. I want to make money too. But in the city's perspective,
yeah,
I want the interest rate to go down a little bit. And I'm hoping it will go down later this year. And if that's the case, the current debt service will have enough capacity to bond for this, as well as the $4 million that you talked about that I did not know was
the annex building.
Write it. Yeah. So I can combine that one bonding, and you won't even know it. It will just continue utilizing that current debt service. Right?
Okay. How much would interest rate have to come down to do that?
With our ratings, right now, I was talking to other cities, and they were really happy getting low fives. And I said, I'd be really happy getting low threes. So right now for our city, and Mayor talked about our bond ratings and all those kind of things, where we are because of our council's policies and how we do things in this city, we are in a great place. I think currently, if we were to go on the market, we may be mid fours right now, maybe low fours.
That's good.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah.
So if
it goes down a point, we're...
So if we wait it out, and that's why I keep saying no when they start giving me a date, because if I wait it out, and I think I will be able to get two, if not four, if not a high threes, that would be awesome. Yeah. So that is my goal.
Okay.
And that's why I want that.
So with everything rolling off and a dip in interest rates...
We've got it covered.
We've
got the water tank and the annex building covered.
Those two covered. Now coming to number two here, which is the public works building. This is a little more complex, where this building occupies multiple different funds, water, storm drain, sanitation, and general fund. Your streets.
All of them.
parks and all those projects. So off of this $36 million, if you, that option number one, if the city were to bond this $36 million, Marta will have to pay about $11 or $12 million. Storm drain would pay maybe $1.5 million. And sanitation may pay, sanitation recycling may pay $2 million. The remaining, which is about 52%, maybe $19 million, has to come out of general fund. Or general fund has to pay for it. I need to come up with $19 million for that. And fire station is not too far away. And so timing of this debt funding, water is fine when it comes to general fund. So 20 million plus the 20, $40 million we have to come up with. So how do we come up with that, right? So keep that in mind. Option number two for this, as you will recall, we have a certain MDA that calls for a construction of infrastructure, right? And I think with the staff all together, we agree that public works building is an infrastructure. And so if we were to go that route, and this is the decision that you will, tell the staff whether to pursue or not, we could go to certain developers, and we have Daybreak, we have Shoreline, we have Jordan School District, we have Kennecott.
What about Rio Tinto?
Kennecott, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the annex portion of it, right? Mm-hmm. So you have all those, and we have done, Ray's group has done a proportion study. And that study says if we were to pass this on to the developers, the city will still have a certain portion, but instead of $19 million, it will be about $6-7 million. So that is easily, I can handle that, what I was describing to you.
With
I
cash flow.
Yes, yes. So if the council says, yeah, go try it, good luck. We will go and try it, and if they say no, then we'll come back to you and say, we have to do something ourselves as developers. If we go that route, we have to remember the Kennecott portion will be, $6-7 million, but who knows when they're going to be starting the construction.
Yeah.
And based on when the MDA comes into place, city will still have to upfront it because it may take 30 years to pay us off, pay them. Nobody would want to upfront it, right? So keep that in mind too.
I have a question, Sunil. I like what you're saying about the developers paying a proportional amount. What if you approach these four, let's say, developers, and two say yes and two say no? Is it an all or nothing, or we can choose to afford some and not others? How would that work?
That would be a council
decision. Sounds like district court.
I think we got to be careful here because we're mixing different things. Let's be very clear. There's one NDA that says that entity will build their and pay for their infrastructure. And we've talked about that, and Justin and I have a plan, and we're working that through. Shoreline's a different thing. Rio, we don't have an NDA. We will have one. And so let's not mix up things. I think we all know what the Daybreak MDA says. We showed it to you, and we'll go with that. And the proportional share, which we just got done in the last, couple of weeks. That is the key starting point to say, hey, everybody, here's your proportional share, and go from there. We're going to need another tank in the future to do the newly annexed Rio Tinto property, at least one, probably two. I would guess two for that more northern portion, and or one for the northern portion and one further up Bingham Canyon for the other portion for the part by Olympia, more or less. Anyway, all that will be worked out. We'll put that in that development agreement. But, the proportional share analysis, the whole point of that is to say, hey, your impact, it's basically like an impact fee analysis, your impact is X on our system, and so that's yours. And then there's a lot of ways we can save money also with working with the developers to build infrastructure. Their costs are generally less than ours because of the bid process. It's just different things we can do. Now that we have that information that's not even a month old, it's a couple of weeks old, now we can go forward and start the process that you directed Dustin to do.
So the only drawback to that option is that we may not meet our operational deadline because of
time
complex and all this scheduling and who's going to have to do when the other MBA comes into play. So who knows what? So that was just an option over there that could be possible, right? But if we go through that, city may have to upfront it and then recoup. That's out there. Timing wise, who knows when we're going to start and be able to start and finish.
Sunil, do we have any bonding that's rolling off by July of 25?
No. So and what he's referring to is that is there any, so you know, we issue bonds, we have in the toolbox, we have different bonding tools, right? We have revenue bonds, lease bonds, we have assessment bonds and all those kind of things. They all relate to certain funding enterprises, right, or funds. So water revenue bond, like we talked about, there's a debt service that's falling off, maturing, and so when that falls off, you can only use it for water, right? So what he's saying is there other bonding that is in place that can cater for this if it were to mature? We have a couple of bonds outstanding right now, 2017 and 2019 sales tax bonds for this public safety building and the fire station is just 7 years old. And we issued that for a 20-year period.
So they're both 20-year bonds.
So they're 20-year bonds. We can't do anything for the first 10 years is when we, you know, we are able to go and refund, refinance, and all those kind of things. So we're still in within the first 10-year period. If it were closer to 10-year period, if we were getting closer, so I can maybe utilize that and somehow refund it and merge and structure the rest into it, that's possible. But 2027,
but we're not there.
2029.
Yeah.
So those are not there yet. Other than those two bonds, we have the special assessment bond that when Daybreak, Kennecott initially built Daybreak, issued, you know, $32-33 million bond, but that's totally assessment side only. When that drops off, we don't have any. There's no capacity on our side for that. The other bond that we have is the 2015 tax increment / sales tax bond, but that's totally RDA side of things. When that bond, I mean, it was 2015 anyway, and we still have a whole bunch of time remaining there, but sales tax portion is just backstopping that, basically adding as additional collateral so that bond gets a decent interest rate. Right, so that's what that is. Other than that, we don't have anything.
So if we're going to meet these timelines, it looks like we're going to have to raise taxes in order to bond next year, or perhaps the following year.
So, yeah. Well. So if we go, say the $20 million for easy calculation, if the $20 million, and if we, talk about another tool. So this is a fire station that could qualify for a lease revenue bond, right? And if it's a lease revenue bond, a lease revenue bond allows the bond covenant will allow you to go as far as 30 years. So you can split this over 30 years. That reduces your your payment. I mean, you, at long run, you would pay more in interest, but it reduces your yearly payment.
Yeah.
And say this yearly payment comes down to, you know, $750,000. That is easier to
absorb
into the budget process than a $36 million
or 20
year. Yeah. So we can definitely do that. So if we do that, combine that into. So right now, let me go back. Let me say this: the incremental increase in our revenues now after COVID years were anomaly kind of thing, but now it's about, I would say, average $3.5 million. And the rate that we are growing, the city is growing. We have over 500 employees, which is a huge cost. An incremental increase in those employees' cost, plus all the new employees that we need because we are growing, it's about that much.
So we're not freeing up any.
So
we're not gaining any net revenue.
Right. If we are gaining some, you know, there's always need for operational increase, and we know the cost of doing construction and all those, and I mean, that's going up like crazy. So anything we do, it gets absorbed there. So how we have been working on all this few years is that we have $3.5 million, and here's all this ask. So we prioritize that, and where are we going to allocate that? So say now this comes into play, and it's $750,000. Then I look at the $3.5 million and I take $750,000 out of there, and then I tell Dustin, okay, here's what money we have to cover for our existing employees and any new employees, any new asks, and we try to fit in that.
Right, tighten up a little bit.
Kind of thing, yeah. So it will tighten up. So it will happen then.
Be good if we could.
So, and then, so what do we want to do over here?
So, do you mind if I keep asking questions?
Right.
So, I'm assuming that none of these developers are expecting to have to pay for this. So.
They don't need state law.
But they don't have an expectation.
Yeah.
Is it safe
to
say they don't have an expectation that they need to pony that up?
Yeah, I don't
have
know.
Have we talked about it in the past?
It's in the paperwork. And if you guys want to give me the direction,
and it's been
we'll go
it's
find
been
it.
Floated
and
out there at times
with Millers.
Oh, I said
knowing
it,
what
they yeah.
Have we talked to Millers about this?
I've dropped it more than once.
I've dropped it.
Yeah.
I've dropped it before.
Good.
Be with the old group band.
Dropped it as if we may have to do this.
We've talked about it.
Yeah, well, and that's good. I just
the timing might be.
I just know that it's when expectations are different, then you're running the risk of damaging relationships, and I don't know how that plays out. You know.
Yeah.
Well, do we have anything to sweeten the pot for them to help us out?
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We could increase density.
If they don't build homes, we don't need
five. I have a general question, though, just trying to keep all of this in a little bit of perspective. Does this kind of build out our main infrastructure needs before we have to start rebuilding infrastructure? I mean, are we looking at needing another water tank besides this one? I mean, I can't imagine us needing another public works building on the west side. Do we need a fire station 66?
So the answer to that question is, it depends.
We do know that there's at least one, if not two, water tanks that will support the growth in the RTK annexation.
We can put that.
But
all
those
in them in
the that can be on them in the MDA. But we also know one of those tanks, if they're really 50 and 60 years out on some of that development,
yeah.
So it's probably one of those water tanks. As far as the public works go, this should take us all the way through. Again, depending on what that long range stuff in the RTK side looks like, that could change that. For the fire station, we should be close, but again, it's going to depend on that RTK piece and its timeline and how it develops. But for the most part, this does complete the majority of our major infrastructure needs when it comes to fire coverage, public works coverage, those kinds of things. This should be the heart of what's
that's
left
kind of what
to
I'm getting
built.
At. So we're not looking at in 2028 of saying, oh, by the way, we need fire station 66 being built.
The current annexed area.
Yeah. Instead of infrastructure, instead of a fire station 66. I think we would need the second company in 64 sooner than probably the same time.
Yeah.
But that's just the people. Right?
But then, and then you're looking at things like 61.
Yeah, exactly. Where we're starting to rebuild.
Schedule, because it's going to be 50 years old.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I'm just trying to keep some context.
And I think it's important to point out, too, that made me think of, you know, as we talk about a West Side public safety building, if we take a look at this and go, should all the residents in South Jordan help contribute to a West Side public safety building? Well, they're all paying right now, and it costs more for us to run out of the central location, which is no longer central, which is Redwood Road, all the way out, back and forth, back and forth. It is not only more efficient, but it is more cost effective. It is more efficient financially, and in the end, our residents do come out better if we build a second one out there.
The public works,
So if we don't go the developer route, then the whole city residents are.
Well, we can't put the whole thing on the developer as.
That's why we did the proportionality study.
We did the proportional. I mean, each one has.
So some portion of it would still come from the city.
That
scenario.
Under that scenario.
Well, it seems like we almost still have to just bond for the whole thing anyways and then hope we get those costs.
So 19% would come to the city, 50 to Daybreak, and then 27% to the annexation, then a few smaller percent. Areas.
There's a lot of moving parts and pieces to this puzzle, and some of that's probably a discussion for another time, as it involves strategic thinking. But it's one of the concepts that's at play in how we solve this puzzle.
So
but
what kind
some
of
it's a discussion for another day.
What kind of an answer response do you need tonight from us?
Do you want us to explore some of those options and bring you back what that looks like?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's really what I need to know is do Ryan and I explore all these options that we're looking at and come back with a recommendation?
I'm wondering what our confidence level is, because mine is low, that $20 million is going to remain the cost by July of 26. I cannot imagine that. Would these projects keep going up? And up and up and up and up. So have we taken into account the way they've risen so far and got a new, are we estimating by July of 26, it's 29 million?
I think the 20 million has 1 year construction escalation cost in it, if I remember right.
It's already built in.
It's already built in.
Good.
Jeremy's not here, is he?
No.
Yeah, if I remember right, that has 1 year of cost escalation.
And,
no.
And we're waiting on
a bunch of other contingencies
to stop funding the federal government by continuous resolution and actually pass a budget to hopefully be able to get a little bit. It's not a grand amount, but it's the first line item we've ever been to get a little bit of money, and there's money we're waiting on from the federal government toward this. It's a barely a dent, but it
towards
some
towards which I don't
know.
The water tank.
That's the Burgess Owens piece that he's helping with.
Yeah, it really comes down to the funding of 2 and 3.
So one and two, and the four, you know, it should be combined, close to, you know, together, working simultaneously. Would be, if not, I mean, we have to push this back and separate it. Who
for bonding purposes, at least, you know, a year separation would be, if you're not doing it together, you know, would be better.
Can you tell us what best case scenario would be that we may have to bond for putting them together, not separate, you know, but if we had to put them together, just looking at these as a unit, and also worst case scenario, what you think the bond amount might have to be?
If we go through the developer route, that would be the best case scenario. The general fund will have to come up with $6 million out of the 36, and the $6 million plus the 20, that's very doable, I think.
To not bond for?
To bond for. But then, you know, when it comes to bonding, then I'm going to look, strategize, and maybe not bond for the full $26 million. But, you know, somehow, right now, if you were to look at our books, we have over $50 million worth of projects that are at some stage. And we never spend $50 million. We will never be able to spend $50 million in projects in 1 year. And that number continues, right? So even though those numbers are tied to projects, you know, if I do it right, I can, you know, use it as a one-time and then replenish that and at least build the building to internally borrow ourselves instead of going outside. I can play with those at some point and come up with an option and reduce this bonding capacity, bonding value, lower it so that our... So my goal here is, what can we do with the existing revenues that are coming in? I mean, I'm pretty conservative, tight on that side of things. Absolutely, if it's needed, funding is available for that. If it can wait, it can wait. If it can't wait, we try to make it happen. So. Whatever I need to do, I mean, I can, I'll, depending on your direction, I'll come and I'll play with those numbers and shrink those between bonding and internal funding, keeping track of those over, you know, multiple years and make that happen. The worst case scenario is on these two, the city portion would be another $20 million. And then, so that therefore, $40 million. $40 million is a little tough for me to, you know, come up with without increasing our revenue source.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more than we did in 2019. I'm doing the mental math about the brass tacks in the end, right? What does that mean for everyone?
Yeah.
And that's a lot more than we did in 2019.
So 2019 was 14 point some percent increase to increase $1.8 million in revenue. Yeah, just $1.8 million.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I keep thinking about the actual numbers.
Yeah.
So. It was $1.8 million. The payment was $1.8 million, right?
No, remember the $1.8 million was to cover ongoing cost of public safety.
Oh, right.
And it's not a, right. So it's an operational side of things.
Yeah.
So we still have, you know, less than, I mean, 10 months. We have 10 months to, I mean, at least if we take 5 to 7 months in talking to, you know, if that's the direction we can talk to whoever is involved over the next 5, 7 years, 7 months, and if we're not going anywhere, then we still have time to come back mm-hmm. and relook at this timing of it and all those kind of things. But if we don't want to do it together, WADA can comfortably handle this plus the $4 million. I can move forward with just this one and the $4 million project, start the bonding resolution, in January of 2025. They have the funding available in July, and that construction continues, and this is not holding up. But as far as the needs go, you know, that's a different story.
So now, if at any point in time, you know, you're looking at what rates you think we can get out in the bond market, and there's like an optimal time, we do have the ability to move these up to take advantage of low rates, right?
Yeah, so it's like the tricky part about bonding is that you can go and lock in your rate. And so the bonding period takes 5-6 months. Six yeah. months is ideal, but 5 months, right? But I wouldn't know what the rates are till I go into the market.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
Actually sell the bond.
Actually sell the bond and actually, you know, advertise and see how many people. When we are actually selling the bond and we look at the demand of it, many times, you know, we split those bond into multiple series, right? Yeah. 10, 20, 30 series of bonds. And then we send it out there based on the investor needs, and then we watch. And so this series, there's, you know, two investors wanting to buy this series. Two investors buying this series, it's okay. It's not great, it's okay. All the bonds that we have issued in the past, as I look at our bonds, and as I look at the interests from the investors, we always had 6, 7, sometimes 10 investors wanting one bond. So when that happens, that's when we are able to go back and say, okay, there's a huge demand. The bond rate is, you know, 4%. How about we push out 3.7% and see who drops out and how many. And so we play this game, you know, in the real-time market. And then out of the 10, 5 drops out. Well, the 5 is still interested in 3.7%. I'm sure there will be 2 that will go for 3.6. You know, so we push that out, and, you know, 3 or 4 drops out. And when it's 3 or 4 drops out, and that's where we stop, because we don't want to go too low, and then there's nobody buying that bond anymore. So that's how we negotiate in that real time that day. But we do know, we have some ideas to what's happening.
We've talked about it before on timing, you know, when we've done prior bonding, say, you know, yeah. You come to us and said, okay, you know, there's reasons to look at doing this bonding. Yeah. Now, I think in the past we have moved things up, say, hey, you know, we probably ought to get started on this because, you know, remember we said, hey, we think construction costs are going to go up. You know, the rates are, you know, bond rates are good. And so I'm just making sure that, you know, we're paying, you know, obviously we're paying attention to that still.
Yeah. We are. And I've been very lucky, I guess, you know. We have our financial advisors and they put a schedule, right? And they say, okay, here's when we want to be in the market. And every single time I went and I changed that. And so they would look at it, and Laura looks at me and goes, you sure you want to change the day you want to be in the market? I said, yep, that's 80% of my feeling says that. And she goes, whatever you want. And so we go there. You don't know until you are in the market and what happened. Then we get all this data, and then Laura will look at me and say, how did you know that? So it happened every single bond that we have issued. I just, you know what's out there, know who we are, and then adjust. Yeah. And so if I give myself 6 months, I have that ability to be constantly watching it, what's happening in the market. And besides, you know, there's lots of requirements of the bonding, right? You approve council approves the bonding resolution. You can't do anything for 30 days. You sit there, hopefully, you know, and then the process starts and this whole bunch of stuff that happens in between. So.
So my vote would be to pursue all avenues and see what we can shake out. I am worried about our relationship with some of these developers and hope that we can do this in a way that protects that, you know, so.
But there's, I think with that, and I respect that, Don, but there's also just the obligation that they do have them.
All right.
I mean, they entered into these agreements, and
I mean, we're not taking so any I don't impact think we're, fees.
Yeah,
we're not taking any impact fees. Obviously, they have to provide the infrastructure.
Yeah, and I, well, and I'm just saying, I don't feel like we're going and asking for anything beyond what they've already agreed to in their business agreements.
Yeah,
and so I don't feel like that. Yeah, there might be a little ruffled feathers, but I don't think it's something that's going to destroy relationships.
Well, and it's a direct benefit for them.
Yeah. I think we have the information that we need, and we can move this forward now. So, if you guys are good with that, I'm ready to summarize so we can.
Well, hold on. I do have one question on this part.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just do we want to go ahead and move forward, though, with all the water tank and the annex, water annex building, so that's not being held up by the other projects? Because wasn't that one of the questions?
So the timing-wise, you know, I mean, we still have, so if we can at least talk to them over the next 6-7 months, we still have time to come back and decide on that and move forward with that.
All right, that's fine.
So we don't have to.
We're starting. Less.
I just don't want to be holding something up.
It's 10 months. It's when we actually have to start working. And with the developers,
I feel like I'm the whole thing.
What did Dave write? Are you involved in that water tank?
Yeah, it's okay. The last resolution council adopted, the very last one where they, we actually took the responsibility of building the tank.
Oh,
okay. And they donated the property to us. Yeah.
Oh,
so that is
they donated the property. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So here's where we're at in the budget process. We went through visioning, mission statement, the big items. We went through personnel. We've gone through all the CIP stuff. We have all of the pieces and all of the information from you that we need now to put it all up into a nice package and bring you a tentative budget on April 2nd. If you're comfortable with everything, that's where we're at in the process based on everything you've given us. I can have that document for you. We had originally scheduled a fourth budget meeting in March. I am going to recommend that we don't need that unless you guys have other pressing issues that you feel need to be taken into consideration. If not, we're ready to go back. We'll fine-tune a couple of things that you've given us tonight and be ready to bring you a tentative budget on April 2nd.
I will not be at the April 2nd meeting, just so everyone knows.
I'll actually be out of town as well.
So there's three of you that can pass the tentative budget.
Well, it would be presented to you, then you, there's 30 days, then we have the public hearings that come in May. And,
oh, yeah, that's just the actual presentation.
It's actually, handing you this pretty book and saying, okay, it's now ready for the public to review for 30 days. Yeah. We'll see you for a public hearing in May.
I can send another obligatory email.
Yeah.
Do it, please.
We'll be waiting for it, though.
So if you guys are good, but I don't think we need the next budget meeting, we will finalize a tentative budget to bring forward. Is that?
What day was that budget meeting?
April 2nd.
It'll be April 2nd that we would give you a copy.
That's when you're canceling in March.
We are canceling the March 5th city council meeting.
No, the
city council meeting.
We are.
Wait, the budget meeting.
They're just
on the
budget
13th.
Meeting. Yes.
Canceled.
Yes.
I'm good to delete.
Yes. Okay. If you guys are good at that. Sorry, I was thinking you were talking about the council meeting. We canceled next week for caucus meetings.
Oh, we did cancel?
The regular meeting.
We're
going to
do our
session.
Work meeting and then we're going to.
Yes, but we're so meeting and then leaving.
We're
going
to need police escorts to get to our other meeting. Oops.
That would be fun.
There you go, Chief.
I've
lights and sirens.
I know, I've been trying for 7 years.
If we get started next Tuesday, right at 4:30, and we move quickly, we should be done in plenty of time for all of you to make your caucus meetings. The Democratic caucus meetings are actually being held just across the hall right here at 6. And the Republican ones.
Here in the building?
Yeah, for the Democratic caucus and the Republican caucus. I don't know the location.
Luck,
starts
location.
There's all over.
There are
multiple locations.
How can we figure that out?
The GOP website. On the website, and it tells you.
You have to register for it. I just registered for Caucus. If you pre-register, it'll tell you exactly where to be and when.
It will save you time if you pre-register.
I'm sure hoping so.
So you don't stand in the big line.
But what I'm saying is if we get started right at 4:30 and we move quickly, we should be done in plenty of time for you to get where you need to be that night or want to be.
So our goal is to exit here at 6 o'clock?
Well, we have two items on the agenda. One is to review the Y2K analytics survey that was done with the city.
That's our annual survey.
That's the annual survey.
Kyrene will be.
And so that's probably a 20 to 30 minute presentation, depending on your questions. The second item is a discussion with Director Schaefermeyer about the MIHP, the
Moderate
Income Housing Plan. Because one of the things we really want to make sure is that we are checking all the boxes throughout the year so that there is no question when our plan is submitted in August that it will be accepted. And so we want to walk you through things that we have committed to, that we plan to commit to, and where we're at and what needs to happen over the course of the next couple of months to check every box, dot every I, and cross every T before we submit that plan. And so Director Schaefermeyer wants to walk you through that. So those are the only two items on the work session. So again, if we can start early and stay on task, I do believe it is doable to be done by 6.
So we're starting.
Theoretically,
we're going to start at 4:30. So if there's a chance anybody can get here and get your stuff ready and be ready to start at 4:30, that'd be great.
And with that, Mayor, that wraps up everything I think I needed from the council to finish the budget tonight, and I'll give it back to you.
Thank you. Anybody have any additional questions? And if not, I'll ask if there's a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, we stand adjourned. Thanks, you guys.